We good? All right. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'd just like to read the first 8 verses of that. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. It was the wisdom of Solomon. It said, everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. And everything else happens in between there. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Solomon was a wise man. He knew what he was talking about. He had experienced most of these things. But the thing I want to dwell on today is verse 7, part B of verse 7, a time to speak and a time to keep silent. A while back, I was praying one morning, and I just asked the Lord what he wanted to say to me. And, sometimes I think I'm dull of hearing. Sometimes I think I'm stone deaf when it comes to hearing the Lord. But even though, it's usually because I'm not listening. I'm not paying attention. But he's always faithful because my desire is to know what his will is and his word is to me personally, that he'll find a way to let me know, even if he has to speak to me through somebody else or he just finds a way to communicate to me what he wants to say. But I love it when I hear him plainly, when he almost speaks to me audibly and I know it's him. That just picks me up and sets me right where he wants me to be. So this was one of those times. He spoke to me what he wanted to say. And it was something, obviously, that I needed to hear. And I believe that it's something he wants us all to hear, considering the world that we're living in. So he who has an ear to hear, let us hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. It's God-given wisdom that sometimes we should speak and sometimes that we should be quiet. So how do we know when those times are? Well, I have to tell you that it took me many, many years to learn when to speak and when to be quiet, and I am still not 100% successful in those areas. I can't remember how many times I have just spoken without thinking or praying, and I have done damage either to myself or whoever was hearing what I was saying. I remember when I was a younger Christian, I was zealous for the truth. And I was talking to my oldest daughter and my sister, and what was coming out of my mouth was the truth. And I told him, what Jeremiah said. He said, the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all else. Who can know? And it's the truth. And it cut right to their heart. I had them, they were crying. Because they were convicted. They knew. But you know what? I didn't tell them the whole truth. I didn't tell them the part about, God can fix that heart. And you know what? He took me behind the woodshed on that. And he said, if you're going to speak the truth, speak it in love. Knowing, that that's what I did for you. Am I speaking loud enough? Can everybody hear me? I'm sorry. We need more volume. I don't want to yell at you. I love you. So to just speak without thinking can do damage. And, you know, James chapter 3 tells us that no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. No man can tame the tongue. Look, my tongue used to be controlled by my emotions. I used to blurt out what I felt. I used to blurt out what I thought was right from my experiences, from what I had learned. And I hurt myself. It caused me a lot of pain and suffering, and it caused the people who love me pain and suffering. So when I got saved, God said he would put a guard over my mouth and my tongue. He said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I was seeking to let him be the abundance of my heart. On the other hand, keeping silence can do the same thing. If we don't speak the truth, or if we withhold information or instruction out of fear of ridicule or, you know, retribution or even physical violence, it can do just as much damage. Maybe not to us personally, but the people who need to hear that. So when I asked the Lord what he wanted to say to me, this time he said, do not be silent. Which, when I thought about that, I said, well, I must be being silent about something he wants me to talk about. And if you know me, if you ask Karen, you will find out that I am not much of a conversationalist at home. Most of my answers are one-word answers. I say just enough to get my point across. I don't talk for hours on the phone. I'm pretty much right to the point. But the one thing I do love to talk about is the mercy and the love and the grace that God has shown me. The greatest thing that ever happened to me. So, and even then, I'm right to the point. You know, Pastor Bob, he's been walking with the Lord for decades, and he has great life experiences with the Lord. I do too. I've been walking with the Lord for a couple of decades. But, you know, he's been all over the world. He's spoken to a lot of people. Me, I'm kind of a country boy. Haven't really been anywhere. But you know what? The truth is still the truth. I may not have as many rabbit trails as Bob does, but I still have the same Spirit of God living in me. And you know what? He does not want me to keep it to myself. So he asked me to speak up. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 16, I asked him what it was he wanted me to say. And if you read in Hebrews, in chapter 1, it tells us that in various times, various places, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Now, the Spirit definitely speaks to us personally to teach us God's ways, to instruct us on a daily basis, to keep us close, to fulfill his purpose for our lives. But he also has given us instruction in righteousness and truth through his Son, Jesus Christ. It says, in these last days, he has spoken to us through Jesus Christ. So everything we need to know about God, about his will for our lives, about the truth, about this world, about ourselves, he's spoken to us through Jesus. But he's also given us his Spirit to live in us, to guide us through our daily lives. And one of the things he said to me, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me find it here. Verse 16, if you want to follow along. said, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." He's given me this treasure in an earthen vessel, himself. He's given me the truth. And if I hold it in, I will explode. That's what he wants me to do. He does not want me to keep silent about what he sent his son here to tell the whole world, that there is hope. So Titus 2:1, he says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." How much sound doctrine is the world getting out there? Who are they listening to? They're listening to men who want to control them, who want to control the world, who want to control the money, we know who they're influenced by. So we, as vessels of the Holy Spirit, he wants us to not keep silent, to speak the truth, because the world isn't hearing it. I know I can remember when I first heard the truth, how angry I was for the lies that I'd been hearing all my life. And they were told me to manipulate me to be a profitable to somebody else. That the world wasn't caring. That the world wasn't caring about what I thought. They just cared about what they could use me for. And that bothered me. But I knew God loved me for a different reason. In Isaiah 62, he says, "I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not be silent." And in Ephesians chapter 4, which was the life verse of Calvary Chapel of Boston, Pastor Randy Cahill, was that we should be speaking the truth in love. It's one thing to speak the truth, like I did with my daughter and my sister, and made them cry, condemned them pretty much. But it's another thing to speak the truth in love. It's the love part that makes the truth alive. And that's what Jesus did. Everything he said because he loved us. He came because he loves us. So he said that when we speak, that our speech should be seasoned with salt that imparts grace to the hearers. So to just speak without thinking can do damage. When James said that no man can tame the tongue, it's an unruly evil, he was right. And that's why Jesus sent his spirit to live in us, because he can control the tongue, because he can fill the heart that moves the tongue. So when the tongue moves, it's going to say what the heart is filled with. So we ought not to speak without thinking, without praying. Jesus said he only spoke what he heard from his Father. And he did a lot of speaking. That tells me he spent a lot of time in the presence of his Father, just seeking what it was he wanted to say. And let's face it, that's why we're still here, right? To spend time with him, to have fellowship with him, to hear him, to be overflowing vessels of his Spirit that have an impact on the world. God, help us to be available. Jesus also told his disciples in Matthew 10:27, said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Many times that I have been in a situation where God wanted to say something. I know he did, because I look back on them and I am convicted that I did not say anything. And you know what? I missed out on a blessing. I missed out on a chance to be used by God to change somebody's heart, to change somebody's life. You know what? Somebody else got that blessing, because God was not going to let that person miss out on hearing the truth just because I wouldn't say anything. But I grew through that too. You know, when I'm disobedient, when God wants to say something through me and I, you know, I back off because I'm afraid, well, you know, this person isn't going to hear it, or, you know, they're just going to lash out at me or call me, you know, a wimp or something because I believe in God and I don't say what God wants me to say. Not only is that person not blessed, I lose out on a blessing too. So everything that God tells us to do, it's for our good, whether I believe it or not. So, and that's a lesson that I'm learning slowly but surely and painfully. So he's, and I like it. He said, what I tell you in the dark places, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. God speaks to each one of us personally. You know, when we're having our devotions, when we're, you know, sitting down reading his word and asking him to speak to us from his word, you know, so many times, you know, I hear things that I've never heard before that I know he doesn't want to keep to myself, because if it's good for me, it's good for everybody that knows and loves God. It's good for people who need to know God. So help me to, you know, my prayer is that I would remember these things, that I would live these things. So even if I didn't say them, they'd be evident in the way I live my life. So what are the things that the Spirit tells us to say or not to say? Again, that's something we have to be in contact with the Spirit. We have to be in fellowship with God to know that. Mike knows at work at the shipyard that, you know, we're usually working, but the guys around us are having, carrying on conversations, whether either at work or working or in the lunchroom. And I can't help but hear them because I'm right next to them. And there are times when the Lord tells me, hey, I think you should interject my opinion here, so they'll know what they're talking about. And in a, you know, very conversational way, he allows me to do that. But there are other times when I want to say something, when I want to jump in there with God's opinions, whoa, you know, it's just going to cause trouble. And I thank God that he puts a tie on my tongue that way, you know, that he lets me know when to be quiet, that when, you know, when preaching the word is not going to help, it's going to hurt. Because he knows who's going to hear it and who's not. You know, and I fully believe that I have that job at the shipyard because God wants his influence there. I believe that's why Mike's there too. That, you know, that wasn't a step up for Mike. And I believe he took it for the same reason. And, you know, God has other people there too. But to know when to speak and when not to speak, you know, we have to be in fellowship with the Lord. We have to be walking in the Spirit so that our flesh isn't telling us what to do and what to say. Sometimes the Spirit has something specific to say to us personally, or for us to say personally to someone else. But I love it that when Paul was speaking to the people in Corinth, I'm sorry, I have to stick to my notes here because otherwise I get scatterbrained. That he said, he spoke to Paul in Acts 18, 9 and 10. He said, the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, not to be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. He said, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. I have to tell you that I feel that way when Pastor Bob goes on vacation and asks me to fill in for him. I don't feel like I am the caliber of teacher that he is. I know I'm not. And God would put me up here in front of men like, Fred and other teachers who I believe most of you are probably better Bible teachers than I am. But he has a purpose in this. And it's for me, I think, mostly to learn and to just learn to submit to him. And, when he tells Paul to not be afraid, to not be silent, but to speak. Well, then when he asked me to do that, I have to say, God, I can't do that. And he said, that's okay, I can. So if I get up here and I say what he has to say, what his truth is, and I do it knowing that he loves you and he wants you to hear that, then that gives me comfort and it gives me the boldness to do this. and it amazes me that anybody shows up when Bob's on vacation. So I just had to get that out. I feel better now. So thank you for coming. But I admire, that's, Paul is one of my heroes, Paul and David. Paul, because even before he was converted, he had such zeal for God, for what he believed to be the truth. He threw his whole self into serving God, even as a Pharisee, to the point where he was persecuting the church to death because he believed they were enemies of God. So when Paul heard the truth, what happened? He just transferred that zeal over to the truth, and he walked full on for God for his whole life. He did not turn back. He did not slow down. He ran right to the finish line. I love that. I want to be like that. I don't know what kind of distractions he had from that, but, I know the distractions in my life are plenty. I know they are in yours too. So, we need to just remind each other that the race we're running is a different one from what we see out there. And so Paul, he's a great inspiration to me. So what does the Spirit not want me to be silent about? And some of the things, I wrote down some of the things. Prayer was one. God does not want us to be silent in prayer because that is conversation with him. That's fellowship with God. God knows that I need to come to him and bring to him my weaknesses, my desires. Not only that, he wants, not for me to do all the talking, but to sit quietly before him and listen too. Prayer is, God puts things in our hearts to bring before him, which, either are going to change our character to be more like his, or they're going, to impress, to seek his mercy and grace to bless our brothers and sisters, or to bring people we love, ask him to grant them repentance to salvation. We can't do anything in our own strength. To think that sometimes we try to answer our own prayers and sometimes we're successful, but we've missed out on a great blessing by seeing God move on our behalf. So prayer is big. It's, James said in chapter 5, that the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes a lot. Okay, we say, I'm not a righteous man. I'm not, but Jesus is. And I am in Jesus. And when I pray, I ask him to help me pray according to his views, to pray his will. So he's reminding me, obviously, I am not praying enough, that I need to pray more. That I, he says, tells us to pray without ceasing. So Jesus spoke a parable to his disciples that men always ought to pray, always ought to pray and not lose heart. How many people have walked away from the faith? Many. Why? It's because they become complacent in their walk with the Lord. I think the first thing that goes is prayer. I plead daily, Lord, don't let me go out into this world by myself. I did that for 38 years. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to make those same mistakes anymore. So I pray for help because I know how easy it is to just fall right back into that. In Philippians, he says, do not be anxious, but in all things by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's the one thing that really drew me to Jesus was the peace that I felt when he opened my eyes and showed me what was really going on. The truth has that effect. The truth that I can do nothing without him. The truth that all things are possible with God. I can have peace with that. And you know what? If you're just starting to learn those things, it's good because you know what? When you do learn that, the next time you need to trust him, it's going to be easier. And eventually you're going to come to a place in your life where it's almost your automatic default reaction to say, okay, you know, I have no control over this, Lord. I'm going to just have peace and watch you work this out your way and help me not to get in your way and hinder you while you're doing it. So, and 1 Thessalonians, he said, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. And Pastor Bob's talked about what that means. That just means to stay in constant conversation with the Holy Spirit, with God our Father, with Jesus Christ. You know, and I found, you know, for years, as a Christian, I knew that he saved me for a reason, you know. And I kept asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And he just kept saying, just spend time with me. I just want you to hang out with me. He said, anything, any purpose I have for your life will come out of that. So I finally learned to say, okay, Lord, here I am today. What are we doing? And whatever my life is now, whatever purpose it has, whatever he wants to use it for is going to come out of that. I've learned that. So I've learned not to be anxious most of the time. So to pray without ceasing. And in James 5:16 also tells us that we should come together and confess our sins, our troubles, our weaknesses, and to pray for each other. Again, that's why prayer is so important. Prayer is not only good for building ourselves up in our walk with the Lord, but it's also good for holding our brothers and sisters up too. Another thing that the Lord does not want me to keep silent about is comfort. He knows that we're anxious. He knows that we're afraid. He knows that we see the world falling apart and we don't know what to do about it. He also knows that we know that falling away from the faith could put us in a place where we're not going to be happy for eternity. So we need to comfort each other. He wants to comfort us with his word. He wants to comfort us with his presence. And in 1 Thessalonians, you know, the promise, you know, the trump of the archangel, the shout, and then we are all going to be brought up in the air to meet him. He tells us to comfort each other with these words. Because let's face it, when we get caught up with, you know, what's going on around the world with the high price of food, oil, whatever, how hard it is just to maintain a comfortable lifestyle that gets in our face. I know it always does. You know, we're here. We're in the world. Those things are going to affect all of us. But he doesn't want it to distract us from what's real and what's coming. So he tells us to come together and remind each other of those things. And that it is coming, you know, because sometimes it's hard to wait. There are times when I cry out, you know, during the day, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Because, you know, I don't like the things I'm seeing. And of course, one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible, something that God spoke to me personally while I was on the road, away from my family, was Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30 was, you know, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said that you just come with me, take my yoke, learn of me, for I am gentle and humble, and I'll give you rest for your soul. And the man that I used to be, the angry man who was in turmoil constantly, I needed to hear that so bad. I was looking for that everywhere in the world, and that's not where it was. That peace, that rest came just from knowing the truth and knowing what Jesus did for me. So that's something that the whole world needs to hear, something we shouldn't be holding to ourselves. And my other favorite scripture, Romans 8:38, about the love of God for me. And I have to read that one because the spoken word of God is alive and powerful. And to those who hear it, and this is being recorded. So anybody that listens to this, this is how much God loves you. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I know about you, but that is one of the most comforting scriptures in the Bible for me, because there are so many times when the enemy comes to me during the day and says, you've hit the limit of God's grace. How can he possibly put up with you any longer? And then the Holy Spirit will remind me of this. I have this verse in a frame on my wall by the door, so I can look at it when I go out and when I come in and be reminded that, yeah, I'm a buffoon. I mess up all the time, but I don't want to be that way. And that gives me the hope and the comfort that I can go to my Father and confess that to him, and that he is willing to pick me back up and dust me off and say, okay, let's try it again. Let's try to get it right this time. And you know what? Whatever it is I messed up in, I don't do it as often anymore. He's teaching me, and he is changing me. Sometimes it seems painfully slow to me, so it must be excruciating for him. So, but that scripture, that is one that I have actually given to people who have been going through, times of, just excruciating periods in their life, but, just to lean on that. I mean, sometimes that's, it's hard enough to remember one promise of God. Life presses in on you so hard. That's why we need each other, to be reminded of those things. I remember I came here one day, I was so despondent, I wanted to walk out. And Ben Barth came up to me and said, put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And you know what? That was like God spoke to me right out of heaven. I said, yeah, what have I got to be so bummed out about? It's going to get better. This is all temporary. And you know what? I found out when I started praising God, my heart lifted. It lifted me right up out of that and showed me that I had so much to be happy about. So rejoice always. Even in tribulation, he said, rejoice in tribulation because it's temporary. He's going to get us through it. So he wants us to comfort each other, because let's face it, there are times when we all need it. And in reminder, he does not want me to be silent. He does not want me to be silent in reminding you of all of these comforting, edifying things. He wants us all to do that. So that's why he calls us together as often as he does, that we should come together and build each other up in our faith and strengthen each other in our walk, so that the enemy does not get a foothold and condemn us to the point where we, are ashamed to show our face before God and his followers. That's the enemy. The enemy condemns. The Spirit convicts. So in 2 Peter, verse 3, he talked about stirring up our mind, our spirit, our minds by way of reminder. And he does that on a personal level too, every day. If we pick up our Bibles and we open our Bibles and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? He'll remind us of something that, we may not have been paying attention to or that we've been distracted from. So be faithful in reminding each other. Another place I should not be silent is in confession. Jesus said that if I confess my sins, that he would be faithful and just to forgive me. I love that, but he also said that he would cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And granted, he still has a lot of work to do there, but he hasn't given up on me. So, and he also told us that we should come together and confess our weaknesses to each other so we know how to pray for each other, so we can remind each other of what God's word says. And again, I remind you that God's word is alive and powerful. It changes people. It changes situations. It's holding everything together. So don't be afraid to speak it to somebody who needs to hear it, if the Spirit prompts you to do that. I know sometimes it's easy to keep quiet. And we should never be silent in praise. I love that every time we get together before we get into the study. Pastor Bob always asks, does anybody have anything to praise the Lord for? And, a lot of people do. A lot of us don't. But you know what? If we stop and think about it, we have a lot to praise God for, each one of us. They may say, he didn't, do any miracles in my life today. But you know what he did? You don't have to think about keeping your heart pumping. You don't have to think about keeping your lungs drawing air in. You don't have to think about the sun shining on you. We have a lot to praise God for. He's always faithful. And you know what? He wants to bless us every day. He wants us to be leaning on him so he can get us through this, unspotted by the world, so that his kingdom will be full of people that he loves. So, in Psalm 145, he said, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. And that's true. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Every knee, whether they believe in him, whether they trust him, whether they follow him or not, they will confess that he is Lord. And you know what? He's doing things that we don't see in other places in the world that we're going to be praising him for forever. So I just like to, I'm the type of guy, I appreciate when I go outside in the morning, it's nice and quiet. You don't hear any cars or planes or, man-made noises, that I feel like I'm so in the presence of God. And I appreciate that. When I feel a breeze blowing across my skin, I just thank you, Lord. Because his word says that he brings forth the wind out of his treasuries. That's one of his treasures that he knows I like that. and that it causes me to give thanks. And I do thank him for the place he's put me in. I'd like to read Psalm 67. I love the Psalms because they are so full of praise. I'd like to turn there with me to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. But let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. David had a lot to praise God for. And God praised him, told him he was a man after my own heart. In all of his psalms, even though he was in dire straits, he always praised God. God always delivered him. He was always there for him. And David understood the mercy and grace of God. So I love the Psalms. I want a heart like David's. And in Luke chapter 19, sorry, I should have bookmarked these. But I'm kind of new at this. Luke chapter 19, verse 37 through 40. So then as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, saying, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." There's coming a day when all of God's creation is going to worship and praise him aloud. So he doesn't want us to keep silent. He knows every day he blesses us. Every day he deserves praise. You know what? Praise, it doesn't just bless him, it blesses us. It reminds us of how much we're loved, how protected we are. So. And again, that verse that Ben quoted to me that pulled me up out of the dirge is the garments of praise. And that works. If you're feeling down, just start praising God. He'll remind you of how blessed you are. And another area is worship. How can we be silent and worship? I don't know, like he said, the stones would cry out if we stopped worshiping him. I know about you, but I am so grateful that I am actually alive now. That, yeah, I have to worship God. When you see him for who he really is, you can't help but worship. And again, that's another thing that not just only blesses him, it blesses us. It makes us stronger. It makes us see the world for what it really is. It helps us to know who's really in charge, what the truth really is. Everyone that who has come in contact or fellowship with God in the Bible has fallen down and worshiped when they saw God for who he really is. And we've seen him for who he really is. I thank him that he saw me for who I really was and did what he did to save me. So again, Psalm 95. David was a worshiper. Psalm 95, verse 6 and 7. Well, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. How can we not worship the one who gave us life, who made a place for us in heaven, in paradise, perfect paradise, who just wants to spend time with us and bless us and give us everything we need? And not just us, everybody. In John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. God is seeking those kind of people to worship him. And we can do that because he's given us his spirit. He's given us the truth. So we know how to worship him. He's given us the heart to do that. And he is more than worthy of our worship. It's like Pastor Bob says, you know, thank you, Lord, for receiving worship from a man like me. But you know what? It's his spirit that puts love for him in my heart, because it's his spirit that helps me to see him the way he really feels about me. So those are the things that he does not want me to be silent about, and God help me to speak when I hear from you. I thank God for men like Pastor Bob, for Fred, for Bill Gallatin, Pastor Randy Cahill, Chuck Smith, men who hear God and they don't hold it in. They can't hold it in. They have to share it because they know that's what God wants everyone to hear. I thank God for them that they speak when they hear the Holy Spirit tell them. You know what? Discerning the times we're living in, I believe that's why the Lord spoke this to me. I think he said it's time to say something. It's not time to, just say, yeah, I'm a Christian. But it's time when you see people, just running as fast as they can to hell, to say something. God warns us about that. He told us that if we see someone sinning, especially a brother, that we should warn them, just tell them what God's word says about it. If he gives us opportunity to say words of truth and life to someone that is bent on destroying themselves, then God help us to not be silent. I just want to remind you that the word tells us that, said there's a time coming when people will not hear sound doctrine. And I'm afraid we're very close to that time. So while people are still listening, hey, we got what the world needs. We have the truth. We have the strength of the power of the Spirit of God to speak in love. So let's not hold back. I'd like to read Ezekiel chapter 34, starting in verse 16, just as a reminder. Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. And he said again, same thing with the righteous man. And I believe he spoke this to me. You know, that if I should be warning people of what's coming on this earth, I should be warning them that, you know, what they've been believing, what they're doing, is contrary to life itself. So, as we hear God, let's share what he gives us. Give it away. He said, freely you have received. Freely give. Let's pray. Father, sometimes we forget, you know, how blessed we are. How protected we are, how loved we are. But I thank you in those times, Lord, that you don't let the enemy tear us down. Lord, you remind us, either through your spirit speaking to us in that still small voice, or through the loving heart of a brother or sister, we're reminded that nothing can separate us from your love, and that always draws me back to you. So, Lord, help me to be faithful in what you've called me to be and to do. Help me to speak when you tell me to speak, Lord. Help me to be quiet when it best serves you and the people around me. Thank you, Lord, for these dear ones, Lord, these blessed brothers and sisters, Lord, who come faithfully, Lord, to hear from you. Help us, Lord, to be the people that you left us here to be. Help us to love each other as you've loved us, Lord. Help us to be the light that shines in the world, Lord, and the salt that stops corruption, the salt that adds flavor to life. Lord, we love you. We want to be more like you, Lord, and we just present ourselves to you so that you can make us the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stick around.